And welcome back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we have the new forest supervisor for the Stanislaus National Forest joining us in studio, Jason Kiken, who recently stepped into the role of forest supervisor, the head of the Stanislaus National Forest. Mr. Kiken, next thing I want to ask you about is, do you have any, you know, immediate changes or immediate plans you plan to implement stepping into this new role?
So in my view, there's nothing immediate that needs to be changed. It's a matter of carrying on the great traditions of leadership on the Stanislaus National Forest. I have a lot of respect for Scott and Jeannie and Susan before Jeannie. And so I don't see any immediate changes. What I do see is a continuation of the growing into the community. And what I mean by that is to use collaborative groups such as Yosemite's Stanislaus Solutions, YSS, to find those ideas that help us manage the forest in a sustainable manner. And so that growth is really what's important to me, not changing anything out of the gates. That doesn't mean 6 months from now that we won't find things that need to be modified or changed. But from what I've seen, there's been excellent management that's been occurring and want to continue in that great tradition.
One of the things I'm asked from time to time in the community is when a new forest plan will be created for the Stanislaus National Forest. Is there a timeline at this point, or do you know when there will be a new forest plan?
So there's not really a set in stone timeline. It is on the horizon, though that horizon is likely into the future a ways. We're entering into what's called the pre-assessment phase, which is kind of a fancy term for we're internally looking at what are some of those things that we've noted that need to be changed, as well as doing some basic modeling and other work that's behind the scenes that I'm personally not terribly involved with, other than some meetings and questions. But that public engagement period is, again, out on the horizon, though I would say it's at least a year out. And part of that is, as an agency, we have a number of forest plans that are currently in process that have just really need to be finished up, and that's from Oregon and Washington to the East Coast has a number of those, as well as in California itself. There's a few. I apologize, I can't remember which ones. Sierra and Sequoia, I believe, are two of those. But once we get those finished, we'll really be able to talk about timelines. But a forest plan is very important. Ours was last completed in, I believe, 1990 on the Stanislaus, and that's a while. That's been a while since we've last had a new forest plan. And really the purpose of a forest plan is that forward-looking, where do we want to go with this forest and with management of the forest? And that's everything from recreation to vegetation management and ideas and research and public's perception and desires have really changed since 1990. And so there is a desire to get a new forest plan. And I'm excited to work on a new forest plan when that day comes. And that's engaging our public and partners and employees and finding that broad-term vision for where do we want to go in the next 15 to 20 years.
And when that plan is eventually created, the community will have a chance to really give input as well?
Absolutely. That's a key component of what internally we call the new planning rule, which is based on collaboration and public engagement. And that public engagement is really important because there's things that I know from my experience and background, but when we collectively add up people's experiences and background, we come up with better ideas and outcomes at the end of the day. And that's that public engagement that is integral today to the process of forest plan revision, as well as why it's taking longer on some of those forests, because we're really learning as an agency how to do some of that and piece that together. And so we will learn lessons from them and what they've done and how they've approached that process and be able to create a process that's engaging and thoughtful.
I also want to ask you a little bit more about fire, which is a topic you kind of touched on a little bit earlier, but getting close to the five-year anniversary of when the Rim Fire ignited on the Stanislaus National Forest. Fire is always on the minds of people who live in the foothills and the Motherlode. You know, what are your thoughts on just, you know, fire prevention and prescribed burning and just looking ahead when it comes to strategies for a fire-safe environment out there?
So we live in a fire-dependent ecosystem. This, the place that we've chosen to live, has had fire for the last, ever. And so how we manage for that today when we have homes and recreation areas and other structures and infrastructure is important. And so, again, mechanical thinning is a key component to that. We can't harvest alone and be able to have this system function as it should. We also can't use fire alone and have this system function as it should because of some of that infrastructure I just mentioned. And so we need to have a combination of the two, but prescribed fire and managing fire when you have a lightning storm come over and allow you to look at an area and manage within a safe zone is important. But I'm a strong believer in prescribed fire. It's a way that we can spend 6-8 months or even a year planning for within within an area and put a fire line down prior to putting fire on the ground. And so So using our lessons from the past, using our skilled fire employees and specialists to design areas that can accept fire in a safe manner is what we all need to be looking at. And I'm a strong believer in it, and we will communicate with the public when we're planning those burns, and we'll put out information just to make sure people understand what we're doing and why we're doing it. And to get on that why we're doing it, it's about the health of the landscape, and it's about trying to prevent those large catastrophic wildland fires. The Rim Fire was really not part of what the landscape would have looked like 200-300 years ago or 1,000 years ago. Generally, you would have had smaller burns on a more regular basis. I don't know this system terribly well at this point, but I would be willing to bet within the Ponderosa Pine system and Sugar Pine that you would have had a fire return interval of between 7 and 20 years is generally what those systems would have had. In the mixed conifer and the higher alpine areas, that probably would have been more in the 50 to 100 year fire return interval that would have had more stand replacement. But even then, the burns would have been more in the range of 500 to 5,000 acres. And so that's what we're trying to mimic between our mechanical harvest and prescribed fire is to really mimic what nature would have done on its own. And so that takes public support, and so we'll be looking for that public support over time, and that will come in the form, again, of public engagement through news releases, through meetings, and when you see us out in the field, ask questions, and from here. So hope to talk with you all again someday.
Just kind of a general question. When you go out and kind of see the forest now, I know you're still kind of early in the job, but what is your kind of sense, just the overall health of the Stanislaus National Forest as we sit here this morning?
So this past week in going over Sonora Pass, what I saw was what you see on many national forests and many public lands throughout the United States, and that's a mix. I saw some areas that had what I would call tremendous management that's occurred in the past 5 to 10 years and longer, but you can really see more contemporary treatments that were done. But then you also see areas that are overstocked, meaning there's more trees per acre than there really should be, and so that require some level of management. And so there's that mix throughout the forest. And then going actually I flew over not too long ago, and you could see the same thing from the air. And so it's a matter of how do we, again, increase the pace and scale of restoration, get that great management that you can see in areas and expand that throughout the more of the forest. With that expansion, though, comes a need for, again, public support, and we need to make sure that we have the capacity internally and externally to do that. And so we'll always be looking for ways to be efficient with taxpayer dollars and efficient in the way that we look at and manage this forest that, again, we all call home.
We need to take one more break. We're talking with Jason Kytkin. He is the new forest supervisor for the Stanislaus National Forest. We'll continue with our final segment of Motherlode Views in just a minute. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small.